For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
I'm very thankful to be here this morning to have this opportunity to speak and to bring you the gospel. I will try to speak clearly. And to the pastor here of the church, these elders, that you have treated me so kindly and so graciously. And I will be leaving soon. I think that my way back up north into northern Nigeria is set, or it's being set, and I want to go back there, up there, to preach the gospel. But I want you to remember me, and I you, and if this is my last chance, my last opportunity to preach unto you the gospel, I wanted it to go well and to reside inside of your heart and of my heart. And so the Lord bless you in the reading of Scripture and in the hearing of this message. In Isaiah, in chapter number 42, and if I start talking too fast, just if you hold your hand up, I'll remember to slow down. In Isaiah chapter 42, I just want to read two verses. In verse number 3 and 4, the pastor had asked me to preach on another subject. And was gracious to allow me to change it and to preach what I hope I have inside my heart. It's in Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 3 and 4. It says, a bruised reed. That's a crushed, a broken sinner. That's been taught of the gospel that he needs our Lord Jesus. He will not break. And smoking flax, a person that's barely holding on, he will not quench our Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring forth justice for truth. This text is quoted in Matthew 12, as we read earlier, so it applies directly unto Jesus Christ by New Testament proof. He will not fail nor be discouraged until he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands, the far off places, the Gentiles shall wait for his law. He will not fail nor be discouraged. Our Lord Jesus Christ is gracious unto sinners. He is a forgiving God and a merciful God. Even though we have all of our transgressions, He is merciful unto His people. And if you are a bruised reed and a smoking flax, if I am like you, a wounded sinner who has obtained mercy, but is in need of mercy. If your sins are ever before you and your weakness is made known by God. As you see, that's the thing that we are missing. But God does make some people weak. A bruised reed, a smoking flax. The first point I want to bring you this morning is He will exalt the humble. He will exalt the humble. After He's afflicted us, after He has taught us that His mercy is what we need, that we have no strength inside of ourselves, we have no ability to obey God. It's me and you will make resolutions in our flesh. And in our flesh, it's me and you will turn against them and change them with the Bible right beside our head. We'll push it aside and sin. It will open our Bible in the morning, get strength from God to praise God, and by the end of the night, we've already sinned against Him in a horrible way. If you have learned to distrust yourself, if you have learned your need of mercy, He has pitied you already. He's already shown you mercy by showing you and me that there is nothing inside of ourselves at all. We cannot keep our resolutions, and even our tears need to be washed over in repentance, and our repentance needs to be repented of. We are helpless. I'll just read you this verse, Luke chapter 14. Verse number 10 says, "But when you are invited, go." This is unto a feast. All the big shots are, you know, they're trying to get a position. "But when you are invited, you go. Go and sit down." It's the King James says it's the lowest place. That's fine. But the Greek on that, as the scholars know, is the last place. It's the least place. It's the place for sinners. It's the place for those who deserve no mercy and who have nothing to give, who cannot cajole God. They cannot bargain with God. They cannot bring Him an offer. And they have no strength to make any resolutions. down in the last place, so that when he who invited you, after you come to acknowledge your sins, our sins, he comes, he may say to you, friend. He won't despise you, but go up high. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. In Isaiah chapter 57, it brings us into point two. It's the hurting. This bruised reed, it's been bruised by God. That's our subject, a bruised reed, bruised by God, but not broken and destroyed. He hurts us for our benefit. He teaches us of the lesson. I wish that he would open our ears and learn. It says in the book of Hosea, his strength is gone, and he's got gray hairs, and he doesn't even know it. It's the alien gods have come and have entered into his territory. It's the enemies possess him, and he doesn't even know how far he's fallen. His eyes are not open. He's not even crying out. But when God hurts a person, it's to show him mercy. It's in Isaiah chapter 57. In verse number 18, let me read verse number 17 to get the context clear. For the iniquity of his covetousness, it's his greed after sin and other stuff, and the love of this world, I was angry and I struck him. I hid, God says, and was angry, and look what he did. He went on backsliding in the way of his heart. He did not turn back. I have seen his ways. I have seen his love for sin. I've seen his rebellion. I've seen how he can lay in his bed and pray and then turn over and do iniquity. I've seen how he can have the Bible in his hand, but not in his heart. I've seen how he can be a hypocrite and preach at everybody else's sins and not talk about himself. He can deal with everybody else's sins, but not talk about himself. Not deal with his own sins in the Bible. I have seen his hypocrisy. I've seen his flesh take over after I've shown him so much mercy. I've seen him even do good unto others just for himself. He's doing it for himself. He's using other people to serve himself, and he's just being kind as a fraud. I've seen his Christianity is so corrupt. I've seen his ways, God says. It's the fan here. Is and I will heal. As the scripture says, but God, who is rich in mercy. I'm going to break you off of your transgressions, the Almighty God is saying. Because there's no healing of the sinner without repentance. There will be no comfort from God until the transgression is broken. And so to break a man off of his transgressions and his secret iniquities and sins is to heal him. It's not just a restoration of comfort. It's the changing of your ways and my ways. And so we're changed to fear God and to love God and to keep His commandments and to put His will and His presence above anything else in this world, until our souls are made to cry out, I only need God and nothing else. I have nothing else in this world that can satisfy me. And I know it. He says that man is healed. He's begun to cry out. He's begun to beg. He's begun to admit his sins. He's begun to plead with God. He's begun to plead the precious blood of Christ. He's begun to plead the promises. He's begun to walk by faith, even if he has no feelings of comfort, because he's trusting God now because he needs him. He's desperate. He's in desperate shape. He needs God. He's been healed by our Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy. I will also lead him. I will guide him along the way. I will show this child of God how to keep my commandments, how to fulfill my will, how to do what I say, how to obey. Oh, God, help us. Help me this morning. If the pastor asked me to preach a message on no compromise, and you know why we don't compromise? We're scared to death of God chastening us, afflicting us, and walking away. And I'd rather lose everything I have in this world, my life included, than to lose God. That's why Daniel was faithful. That's why those three Hebrew boys, they would not get out of the furnace if it meant them bowing down unto an idol. If it meant them unto give up their life and their relationship with God in order unto live comfortably on this world, they've already chosen another master. And they're not going to bow down unto Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Because they've had their comfort taken away and restored. And they fear God now. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him. I will give him the presence of the Holy Ghost. I will give him the joy of the gospel. I'll restore his tears at the favor and at the mercy of God, because I've strangled out his hope in this world and in himself, and it is gone. He has nothing in this world but me, and now he's satisfied. Oh, the thrill of the gospel when God returns unto the soul. We've got so much head religion. But when God gets to the soul, a man is alive. That's what George Whitefield preached. Not the doctrine of the new birth, only the experience, the life, the love of God, the feelings of his passion and compassion, the joy of the Holy Ghost, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of the conscience, the precious blood sprinkled upon the heart.
He preached the power of God Almighty Himself because He experienced it.
We've got to live it. We can't just think about it and talk about it. I'll restore comforts unto him. And look what he says, unto his mourners. I will, as we say, I will break him off something proper, but he won't be broken and destroyed. He's a bruised reed, but I haven't broken him unto destruction. I've caused him to mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Who caused you to mourn? It was God. And you're mourning over yourself and because of your sinfulness. It's not everybody else's sin that makes us mourn in the first place. It's our own. It's not the sin of my neighbor. My trouble with me is myself. There is nothing anybody else can do on earth when the comfort of the Holy Ghost is inside the soul. You can take away everything a man has, but you can't take away his God. And if it's inside of the heart, he can lose it all. What Job lacked more than anything else was comfort. It was not his family. You can live without children. You can watch your wife die. You've had to do it. But it's the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what I need more than anything in this world. How about you? I beg you. I plead with you to hear me this morning. Please try to listen. Please consider. Please don't take it just as a sermon or a man up here to give a performance. Take it as the Word of God. And He'll restore comfort unto your soul. Point number three. It's the blood of Christ. It's the sufferings of Christ. And what I'm talking about this morning is the comfort, is the pity. It's the peaceableness, it's the compassion of God unto the poor sinner that's wounded and afflicted. And I'm saying, my brothers, He suffered away our sins. What I'm trying and to say this morning in point number three is not just the blood that was shed, but the character of the person who died on Calvary's tree and who shed that precious blood. The shedding of blood means that his life was laid down. It was laid down. He hung there on Calvary's tree, suspended from the earth, rejected by heaven above.
cast out as a transgressor, not just by men, but by God Almighty Himself. And He hung there upon the cross in pity and in compassion. And He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Luke chapter number 23. You don't have to turn here, but I want to read it. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. At the moment of time when He ought to have hated us, He is suffering away all of our sin. Them, this is effectual unto the chosen people, but is it for you and me? When the Almighty God comes in His blood-splattered garments, His blood-stained garments, after His victory in Edom and Bozrah, and He comes unto you and me, trampling up underneath His feet our sinfulness through the blood of the cross. Has He touched you inside of your heart? I forgive them includes me. The blood He shed at Calvary was cleansing and victorious. It paid the debt for God to be gracious unto sinners. It paid the debt for you and me to start over. I failed. I ran away from God. I would not keep His commandments. I said I was going to challenge Him and live a life of sin. And I stuck my toe in the water. He failed not. And He brought me back with more power than ever, because He forgave us our sins at Calvary. That's why God can be gracious unto a man that's made a mess of it, that's gone the wrong way his whole life, that has not listened, that has not paid attention, that has not heeded the voice of God, that has not hearkened unto God Almighty Himself, that thinks of God as a plaything all of his life, only to realize I must obey Him. And the cleansing mercy of the blood is the reason why I can. I can get back unto God. I can get back unto God's favor. I can get forgiveness. I can get the joy of the Holy Ghost, because the blood was shed and the blood answers for all sin. It's a payment that was made. It's a price that was paid in full.
point number four, and I only have five. Super abounding grace and mercy. I could not think of a better word to explain it. It's like when Paul is writing in Ephesians and he talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ, or the unspeakable gift that me and you are made generous and able to give unto one another when we are selfish by nature. Not just the pastor, but each other in our need. Not just the church and the building project, but each other, the people. That's who the gifts are made for. By the rich being able to give a little bit more than the poor, to help the poor and the forsaken, our brethren in Christ. I wish that Africa was heard by the rest of the world in the West that has so much money in their pockets, our pockets, that we spend on such frivolous things when souls can be saved by the preaching of the gospel. If we'd only train preachers and send them out and support them and support their churches and stand strong in the gospel, if we wouldn't live so much for ourselves. I wish the people in the West would hear this voice, hear this word, hear this message. Stop squandering our money on things that do not matter when there's souls that are on the line. Who will hear if we raise up preachers? They will hear. They have no choice. It's the voice of Almighty God they will hear. And if they don't hear, he still needs to be preached. Until the dying day, he needs to be preached. Until everybody hears his voice. At least one time, everybody in the world. This super abounding grace and mercy is so much pity. It's unspeakable. There are no human examples of God. A mother can forsake her own children and leave them into hell. A mother can do that, but God cannot for his people. He'll never forsake us. Even with all of our sin. There's no father who can represent him. Our fathers can be brutish and bullies. But God the Father is like the prodigal son's father, but over and over and over again. There's no human example. There is no people that me and you can look to and say, well, God is like that. His mercy is kind of like that. He'll save people that you and I would send to hell. Every one of us has looked at ourselves in the corner. If we've obtained mercy, all balled up expecting wrath, and he's come and showed pity upon us. We've seen our own uselessness and he has saved us. He's come back again. Restored my soul. Restored his joy and comfort. He's a marvelous and a gracious God. My words would fail me, Pastor. I don't have words to describe his mercy, his favor, his compassion, his pity. But the one who died upon the cross, he dangling His mercy and putting it inside of the heart, even when we don't think that we need it. In afflicting us, He's showing us mercy and kindness. Point number five is my last one. It's for you. It's for you. I've been trying to plead with you this morning. But if there's any doubt in your mind at all, my sister, if you're good enough or if you're worthy, you're not. But it's for you. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter number 3, is my last text. And may God Almighty help you to hear this preacher. Not the theatrics, not the actions of my voice or my body, but the word of God that's in my mouth. It is the word of God. Is going to judge you or save you. And if you go to hell after hearing this sermon, your hell is gonna be hot. For Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 13, but I want you to admit and to acknowledge that it is for you, in spite of, in the face of all of your sins, your waywardness, your wandering, your backsliding, your turning away, your disobedience, you're not doing what God has commanded you and told you plainly to do. Isn't that what happened with Eli? The Almighty God said, I told you what to do. And you didn't do it. If you stop, He will catch you right now. But here are the terms and the conditions. It's in the book of Jeremiah 3, verse 13. It's our last verse. Only acknowledge your iniquity. I'm not talking about anybody else's sins right now at this moment. It's not the husband. It's not the wife. It's not the children. Not the parents. It's not the boss at work. It's not the teachers' union. It's you. And it's me. It's not the government's fault. It's not Buhari. It's not the economy. It's not the way of the world. It's me and you. Only acknowledge your iniquity if you want to get back with God. Hear me! He's not going to change. He's not going to budge. He's not going to change His terms and conditions. He's not going to change His commandments. He's not going to acknowledge you and me except by repentance. That's what it takes. That's what it costs. We're going to have to change and throw out everything that's wrong and not in accordance to the Word of God, no matter who does it, or if me and you have been doing it our whole life, or if everybody else is doing it around us. We're going to have to stand on the Word of God if we want to get this mercy. But the only way to get it
is to admit I don't have any strength. I don't have any ability. I don't have any goodness. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I'm just going to stand here at the mercy seat, at the throne of God. I'm going to get down on my hands and knees. I'm going to beg for mercy. I'm going to confess and admit that I am a sinner. That's the way up. It's down. It's the last seat. The most unworthy man in the building ought to be the preacher. He should be of the most conscious of himself as anybody else, because he's been taught by God. He should live in the most holy life, and yet to view himself as the most sinful child of God in the world. That's the paradox, but that's the truth. Paul said, "Oh wretched man, I'm the chief of sinners." Is Paul the greatest man alive? Yes. That's how God Almighty teaches his people, especially his preachers and pastors. Only acknowledge your sins, your iniquity, that you have transgressed. This is the kind of God that me and you have. You have transgressed against the Lord your God, have scattered your charms, you've been unfaithful, and to the alien deities under every green tree, you've served every lust in the service of yourself. You have disregarded God totally in the area he told you to be obedient. You haven't kept your body faithful. You haven't been pure in thought, in word, and in deed. Your nighttime iniquity upon your bed has testified against you. Only acknowledge. What kind of God is that? That's the God of mercy. If you walk into any courthouse and just acknowledge your crimes, just acknowledge your guilt, they're sending you to jail. But if you walk into the courthouse of the throne of God through the precious blood of Christ, he's sending you forgiveness and mercy and cleansing. The power of the Holy Spirit to live a new life. The power of the Spirit to obey. And he's going to teach you to lean upon the Holy Spirit over and over, and not yourself. Because your resolutions and my resolutions mean nothing. It's my faith in God, not my resolutions. The just shall live by faith, not my resolutions. I'll break them. It might take me a year, it might take me 5 years, but I'll break it. But to the soul that leans upon God, there is pity and peace and perpetual health. There's a bruised reed that is not broken. Only acknowledge that you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. And if you need the context, just if you look at verse number 12, is to go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, "Return, backsliding Israel. Turn, change your ways, says the Lord. Get back on the right track of obedience. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I'm merciful." And then he goes into, only acknowledge is the way to get back unto me, and I'll show you mercy. I'll show you mercy. So in conclusion, the preacher has closed his Bible. There's just a few more words. If the Lord has been merciful unto you and taught you to hear this gospel this morning, just trust Him. Just trust Him. I know there are many people who cannot hear the gospel because they refused to hear. But if you can hear, please trust Him. Just trust Him. And I feel like I have to say this. If you can't hear, if the Almighty God can't take you with His tender hand of mercy, He's got another hand that's coming at the last day. It's the hand of judgment. And He will strike you for all of eternity. So it's either mercy and pity in the Lord Jesus Christ, or it is the wrath of God.